Insane Asylum Talk Show with your hosts Joe and Mark. Listen and watch as they talk all things paranormal with guests from all over the world. Hear great stories and more. Get ready to kick back and watch Joe and Mark ask the tough questions. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Remember, anything is possible. Your show starts now.
All right. We are back with Artie Hoffman. He is a psychic and an author, psychic medium and an author. And looks to me on your website here, Artie, you have a new book called Have Your Angels Call My Angels.
This is true. It is.
I like it.
Have Your Angels Call My Angels is all about relationships. It's about a relationship not only with a lover, but relationships with your kids, with family. It's about giving you back your self-respect and creating boundaries and standing up for yourself. And it's also about having a relationship with God and the angels, your angels and your spirit guides.
Interesting.
So, and not being afraid to ask. A lot of people are afraid to ask for things. And the more you ask, the more you get. You just got to feel worthy. A lot of people are afraid to ask because they don't feel worthy. You know, it's like Mike Myers. We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Wayne's World.
Wayne's World.
So, Artie, just kind of curious, man. How long have you been into this as a psychic? Or when did you discover that you had this ability? And what got you started with it?
Let's see. I found out last week. I woke up one morning and said, shit, I think I got something good here. It's when I was 27 years old, talking over 30 years ago, and very frustrated in my life. I had everything right going for me as far as my job, my marriage at the time. I'm not with her anymore, but friends, job. I mean, her family loved me. My family loved her. It was like, it was great. It's just that I wasn't fulfilled inside anymore. I knew there was more to me than just what I was doing. Besides doing this full time as a psychic and a medium and a life coach, I also own and operate another business. You'll like this one. It's a window cleaning, power washing business called Peeping Tom's Window Cleaning.
Pretty cool.
And on my card, cool. And on my card, it says binoculars not included. True story. So anyway, so here I am, you know, everything going right for me. And not that I wasn't being grateful in life. I just wasn't being fulfilled inside. And I'm having a little conversation with God. And I said, you know, I need answers. I need clear answers. I said, please don't scare the hell out of me when you give me these answers. Is exactly what I said. So I go into my kitchen and there's junk mail on the counter. And I usually don't have patience for junk mail. I usually just throw it in the garbage. But for some reason, I was in one of those moods. I was just saying, well, what do we got here? And there was a postcard there and it said, how would you like to develop your psychic ability and intuitiveness? Come to the Edgar Cayce Foundation in Virginia Beach for this one weekend seminar. So I looked at it and I said to my wife, I said, wow, I didn't know you could learn how to do this. I thought you either had it or you didn't. And so I thought it was kind of interesting. So I said to my wife, who was my wife at the time, and I said, you want to try this out? I said, it looks kind of cool. She says, nah, I don't give a crap about that. She goes, you can go if you want. I'm not interested. So I went away for that one weekend seminar, and it literally changed my life forever. And they taught you how to open up your heart and mind to be 100% unconditional. And there was about 50 of us in one very large room at the foundation there. And so they got you into that Zen, into that mode. Mm-hmm. And so he said, when you break up into little groups, he goes, whatever you get from the other person who you're with, just share your thoughts with them. Don't second guess it. Don't judge it. Just whatever feelings you get, just share it with that person. And so I did. And people were telling me that I was pretty accurate. And I was like shocked by like I could tell things about people who I never met before. And I was like blown out of the water, as some people were doing to me as well. So I went home and I got myself a deck of spiritual cards. And I was reading for friends and family for a few years. And then I got
spiritual cards. Spiritual cards, you mean like these?
Like, I can't see that so well.
Sorry.
Try again.
Is that
tarot cards?
Tarot cards, yeah.
Tarot cards.
Yeah, but I didn't get tarot cards at the time. I have them now, but I didn't get them at the time. They were known as ruins. You know, like the ancient ruins? There was a deck, ruins.
Okay, I know exactly what ones you were talking about now.
So it has all kinds of symbols on it, 25 mm-hmm. symbols, 25 different cards, 25 different symbols. So mm-hmm. I got those, and I got little mini miniature angel cards. And so I was reading for friends and family for a few years, and again, they were telling me how accurate I was. But I was just doing it for the fun of it. And then I got to a point in my life where, for investment reasons, I needed to make some really fast extra cash. And so I'm thinking, what else can I do other than, you know, what I do for a living? So I thought to myself, I said, you know what? I know how to do readings. So mm-hmm. I threw an ad in the paper, and it said, if I don't pull through, no charge, because I didn't want people to think I was ripping them off. I didn't want money to be pressure on me, because I'm now asking for more money than I've ever made before in my life. So I figure if I was good, I get paid. And then if I suck, well, you don't pay me. So 90% of the people paid me, and the other 10% I had to kill. So
did you bury the bodies deep?
Yeah. No, but literally 90% of the people paid me, and just by word of mouth, a little more advertising. And now it's 33 years later, 33,000 people later, no exaggeration.
Wow.
And I've been all over the country and on different radio shows and TV and casinos, performing at casinos and fundraisers and stuff. So, you know, besides just, you know, being a psychic medium, I am, well, people would say that I'm pretty comedic entertainer and stuff. So, and so I incorporate it all because I like to have fun with whatever I do, you know? So,
yeah, I've seen that you labeled it as psychic comedium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium, and Billy Crystal all wrapped up in one.
No, I'm not sure about Teresa. Sometimes, sometimes
she's
think
very
she
talented.
Does it.
I know I've never met her, but I think she's very talented. I mean, I saw her perform live. I wasn't impressed, to be honest with you. Her information was good, but her style, I wasn't that impressed with at all.
She needs a little more flair to it.
Yeah, I mean, she's got personality and all, but she was having it rough in her life at the time. And I knew that when I saw her perform, I said, this can't be her. She's got to be going through some really hard, rough times with her marriage and everything else. And I was right about that. But anyway, you know, and I've learned from other people. It's not that I'm looking to get answers from my loved ones or whatever. Mm-hmm. If they pull through, they pull through. But when I look at other people who are psychic and mediums, I just look at their style. I look at what I like about them, what I don't like in their style. And so I kind of like take the best and I just try to make what they, because sometimes people say or do things that are super fantastic, but I don't like their style, or I can make that better or more funny or more informative or whatever. And so that's what I did by watching other people. I've just learned to improve my craft by other people's good stuff or even from their downfalls. So
cool.
There was a fella, I'm not going to mention his name, but extremely knowledgeable with spirituality and life itself. Very, very knowledgeable. But I felt that his delivery, his information was flawless. His information was beyond amazing. But he was the most mundane, vanilla type of delivery kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And if you weren't really paying attention to what he had to say, he was great for people who have insomnia because he was putting it asleep. And so I was like very enthusiastic by what he had to say. I said, but this guy is just so freaking boring to listen to. He's just so like monotone. His whole speech is like, oh my God. So
the teacher from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes, very much so. There you go. Very much so. Exactly. You know, so I've just taken a lot of his information, which was very valuable, mm-hmm. and I kind of spiked it up a bit, and it works, you know. And it's not just from him, but it's also from my meditations where I get my information from.
Right.
And from doing all these readings, it's like, even though I'm the one who's talking, I'm the one who's doing the talking and the reading for the people, I'm learning stuff for the first time myself, because the spiritual world is feeding me all this information. And I go, oh my God, you know, talking about love, talking about life, talking about God. I get these awesome posts that are sent to me. I mean, it's really amazing. It's like, I never know what to expect until the moment happens when I'm doing a show or even doing private readings.
Cool. So, in doing your readings and in stuff, other than the cards that you use, do you do anything with like crystals or anything of that nature?
Well, I hold people's hands and I pick and I get to when I see them in person. I mean, I'm just as accurate over the phone or over FaceTime. I'm just as accurate as I am in person. But when I hold their hand, I like just zero into their energy. It's just a vehicle of what I do. I don't read palms. I don't do astrology. Although I believe in it, I just don't do it. I'm more of an intuitive. I look at the angel cards. I look at tarot cards. I actually don't even read tarot cards. I flip the tarot cards all the time, but I don't read them. What happens is that when I flip the cards, the energy from the cards just send me detailed messages about the person or whatever's going on. And it's pretty incredibly accurate. So when people say, oh, do you have a crystal ball? You know, when you see anybody looking at a crystal ball to get information, it's not that the crystal ball gives them information. It's just a tool for you to get
right.
To get in that meditated state of mind.
Yep.
It's not the crystal ball itself that gives you an information. It puts you in a hallucinated state of mind in that spiritual zone. And then you're able to see things, you know. For me, like when I'm doing private readings and I'm with somebody in person, and say if I'm doing a party, I call them arty parties. So if I'm doing a party at someone's house, you know, most of the times you'll see me either looking in the corner of the room or you'll see me looking outside. When I'm looking outside, I'm not looking at the clouds, I'm looking through the clouds. Or I'm not looking at the trees, I'm looking through the trees. Okay. And while you're looking through something, you're seeing beyond what's there. The messages just start coming to you. It's equivalent to you being a passenger in a car and you're just staring outside the window while the driver's driving. You don't have to pay attention. You're just in la-la land. You're not really
kind of in deep thought.
Yeah, you just let your mind go. I mean, unless if the driver sucks, then you're going to be going to become a backseat driver.
I will tell you, I have had that. I don't like being a passenger in the car.
I was just going to say.
You have your control issues. You always have.
Well, no, it's more
actually,
like
I do.
A professional driver, too, has a lot to do with it. When you drive for a living. It's hard to be that passenger. You're constantly being the backseat driver, the right seat driver, you know.
Well,
you know, my funny. Go ahead.
No, my girlfriend's watching too. Her name's Lisa. She's in the other room.
All right, cool.
She did ask a question. This is interesting too. Now she asked, "Can you read animals?"
Yes.
You can.
Yeah, I connect to animals that have passed away also.
Well, then you got some luck, Lisa. He'll be able to read Mark.
So it's funny, like when I, you know, we were talking about vehicles before and stuff, and one of my common jokes, like when I walk onto a plane and, you know, you usually have the flight attendant or the pilot greeting you on board.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time I go on a plane, I look at my ticket and I look complex when I'm looking at my ticket. And I'll say to one of them, I said, I'm a little confused where I should be sitting. I said, my ticket says cockpit. Where is that? It always calls for a good laugh when I'm getting on the plane.
Hey, as long as people can take it. In today's society, I can see a lot of people not being able to take those kind of jokes anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to attempt that type of
joke. I had one pilot go like this. I had one of the pilots go like this. He goes, I guess I should be giving up my seat and I'll just sit in the back.
Why not?
So it's really cool.
Have fun.
It's really cool when people like that have a sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah. I wish that this world had more of a sense of humor. I think we'd be a better place.
I know how to solve that.
Absolutely. I think that's why I probably consider myself better than most. I'm not saying the ultimate best at readings and the ultimate best at whatever, but I would say that I'm definitely better than most only because I was blessed not only with a gift, but also a personality. And like I said, I joke around. I mean, there's a time to be serious. There is a time to be serious. So, and
really?
When I'm talking about certain topics or when somebody's intense or whatever, you know, I stay in my own zone and I'm calm and, but I deliver the information, but I always see humor in something. And the people who I connect to have passed away. A lot of times they have a sense of humor. And they, you know, it's just, like I said, it's just a lot of fun. I just try not to take life too seriously.
You can't.
Yeah, you know, Lisa, like, I think, wants to know why, if you can actually read living animals too, because we have a puppy that was given to us when she was 5. And she seems to have nightmares, and we think that maybe she was abused whenever she was.
She was abused. She was abused. She's like schizo.
She's really skittish about things.
Little
movements will make her freak out.
Actually, if you gave her, I don't know it in detail, but if you gave her some kind of a pill to help tranquil her a little bit, it would definitely help a lot.
Yep. Because of the thunderstorms, she goes crazy with thunderstorms. She can't handle them.
The reason why she goes crazy with thunderstorms is because she was outside. She was left outside a lot while it was pouring, raining out, or during thunderstorms. And she didn't have good shelter, so she freaks out. Yeah, but, you know, she just needs a constant reassurance, but a tranquil pill will definitely help her.
CBDs. We got CBDs.
I want to be sedated.
Oh yeah, sedation is nice sometimes.
Ba 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 ba. I want to be sedated.
That's well, Artie, thank you for that, but we. I actually wasn't pushing to have you do a reading. We try not to do that because we don't want our guests to feel like they're on the spot.
No, it's like it's not a big deal.
Thank you.
Whatever.
You ever try doing stand up?
When I do my shows, it is like a stand up. You know, one of my good friends. I don't know if you ever heard of Mike Marino. He's a very, very funny Italian stand-up comic. He's known nationwide, worldwide. But if you looked at some of his clips, trust me, you'd be laughing at your ass off. So Mike told me this one joke, and I thought it was just so incredibly funny. And he said, you know how that little boy on The Sixth Sense says, I see dead people? He's like this, I see dead people. He says, if that little boy was in an Italian family, his father would say, hey, kid, you saw nothing, you saw nobody, you get out of here.
Yep, pretty much.
That's one of my favorite jokes.
So now that you brought that up, are with your gifts and everything that you have, are you able to see spirits?
I feel spirits more than I see them. Sometimes I do see them in my mind. Once or twice I've actually seen angels in person, as a person, and then they disappeared. And that was a pretty cool experience. There was a time where I was walking around New York City. I was in one of those generous moods, and I literally took the whole day off, and I was handing out I went to Costco's and I got those great big carts of corn muffins, blueberry muffins, cinnamon muffins, all in one big box, 24 of them. So I brought that in a bag of water, and I walked around New York City, and I was handing it out to the homeless people there, whoever I found in Central Park or wherever. And I'd be handing them out also like $5 or $10 bills here or there. So it was really funny. This one guy, it was in the park. It was a black dude. And I said, excuse me. I said, would you like a free corn muffin or something or a bottle of water? No. I'm okay. So all of a sudden I went, all right, no problem. Take care. So I walked down 100 yards more. And there was another homeless person sitting on in the park. And I said, excuse me, sweetheart. I go, would you like some, muffins or whatnot? She says, yeah, I would love it. She goes, thank you so much. So the guy down the ways is seeing me giving her food and giving her water. And I gave her money. And he yelled at me. He yelled out to me. He goes, hey, mister. He goes, is that offer still open? I said, sure thing, if you want it. So he comes over. And I go, which one do you want? I was about to grab it. He goes, no, don't touch anything. I'll take my own. So anyway, so he picked out a corn muffin or whatever muffin he picked out. And he goes, can I have another one? I said, yeah, absolutely. So he took another one. And so while he's eating, he goes, hey, mister. He goes, where do you live? He goes, do you live in heaven? Are you an angel? And I go, I live right next door to heaven. I go, I'm in New Jersey. So later on that day, I was at the end of the day. I'm just about to get to Penn Station in New York, the train station, to go back home. Mm-hmm. And I was tired. I was really tired at the end of the day, walking all day and stuff. And there's this one last homeless person sitting there on the ground with a little cardboard sign. I'm homeless. I have AIDS. And, you know, I got my dog, blah, 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 blah. Can you help out? Whatever. So before I got to the guy, you know, I saw him from a distance. Before I got to the guy, I said, I'm having a conversation with God. I said, God, am I really making a difference? Or am I just like throwing my money away? Am I just being a nice guy in the moment? Am I really making a difference? So I gave the kid who was on the ground with his dog, and I gave him food and water and $5 or whatever. And just as I was walking away from him, 30 seconds later, a handsome black guy walks up to me, very well dressed. He goes, sir, I just want you to know I saw what you did for that guy. And I just want you to know you really touched my heart and you really do make a difference. And I went, whoa. I was just asking God, am I really making a difference? And like within 1 minute later, this black dude comes up to me. And so anyway, so it really touched my heart. So a few seconds later, I walked away and I turned around. And I wanted to talk to him again. And he was gone. There was nowhere for him to go, but yet he was gone.
He was gone.
Wow.
Yeah. He was messenger. He was God's messenger telling you that you were doing good.
Well, that's
anytime you do good for anybody, especially a stranger, or when you're not looking for anything in return, you're always making a positive difference in someone's life. Somebody will remember you, you know.
Well, yeah.
You know, there are times where I've gone into the city, and as a matter of fact, when I went to do stand up in the city, I would take the bus across town. But before I would take the bus and I'd walk a few blocks to get there, I would go to a soup place and get two cups of soup and hand them out to the two next homeless people that I see and just give it to them and stuff. And like I said, one fellow said to me, he goes, sir, a lot of people give me money. He says, but you went out of your way to do something special for me. He goes, I'll always remember you. He says, that was nice of you. So, you know, it does, you do when you, you might not always acknowledge it or see it in the moment, but in some point you do make a difference. The reason why I feel I became pretty generous in life to other people, most people say I'm generous. A couple of people might say differently, but I don't care what my ex-wife says, but I'm pretty generous. But the thing is, what made me generous is that I'll never forget when I was about 7 years old and I was selling lemonade in front of my house, and my brother got out of his convertible Mustang, and he just got off from working at Stewart's. It's a hamburger hot dog joint. And he used to make a lot of money. He used to make pretty decent money. And so I was selling it for a quarter a drink. And so my brother came up to me and he says, hey, give me a drink. Give me a cup. I said, all right. So I gave him a cup. I said, give me 25 cents. And he threw me $2. And I thought, wow, $2. You're talking back, you know, 53 years ago, $2. Wow. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought, so that just made such an impact on me. And my, and when I told my brother, he doesn't remember it. It was just a moment, but I remember it. But yeah, but that made me want to go above and beyond people's expectations when they least expect it. I'll give you an example. Like today, I went, the girls at the bank are very, they have wonderful personalities. They're very good to me. They take care of my needs. You would think that I had $1 million or $2 million in there. They take care of me so well. And so in return, because they're just so nice to me, in return, like today, I brought them chocolate covered strawberries, a box of strawberries. And during the summertime, I'll bring them like a dozen vanilla ice cream sandwiches. So I don't do it like just during Christmas time and cook, you know, I do it when people least expect it or, you know, and it's showing appreciation. I even bring flowers to the girls and I tell them all that they're all my girlfriends. I am your boyfriend. I go, you can take a picture and put it on Instagram and tell them your boyfriend gave it to you. That's okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
See, but when you go above and beyond, and not that you have to go above and beyond all the time, because when you go above and beyond for one specific person or a couple of specific people, appreciation turns into entitlement and they expect it, they expect it, they expect it. When you're always performing at such a high level, it's kind of like, man, no big deal. Like there's a difference between giving somebody flowers just because or once in a blue moon. And I'm not talking for Valentine's or Christmas or birthday.
No, yeah.
I'm just talking just because
right.
They appreciate it. But if you gave them flowers every single day or every single week,
right.
Week after week, after, it's like it's nothing special anymore.
Not right. Right. So with doing something like that, though, I would try to kind of keep it. Try to recognize when they need it the most or the pick me up the most that they need. Like if they've had a bad day.
Yeah, it definitely is to do something extraordinary. It, even like there are times where if somebody at the counter is short a dollar or two or they forgot their credit card and it's like maybe, I don't know, anywhere from $3 to $10 or whatever. I said, don't worry about it. I got you. There was somebody at Christmas time one time. I felt so bad for her. I could tell she didn't have much money. I could tell by the way she was dressed and the way the carriage is with her little kid. I could tell she didn't have much money. She was so embarrassed. She was going through it, and she was in the music store at the time when people were buying CDs and stuff like that. She was in the music store, and the bill came to like $45 or whatever. And she says, "I'm so sorry. I have to leave this here. I have to come back." And so I said to her, I says, no, you don't. I told the fella, I said, just let her have it. She said, that's okay. I said, don't worry, I got you. So I paid for it for her.
You know, yeah, like a couple months ago, I did the same thing to a young girl here in town. I stopped to pick up some food on the way home. And I come in and I pull in and park. She came in next to me in her car. I get out, you know, just kind of looking around, not paying too much attention. But I noticed that she started to get into the back part of her car as I was going into the restaurant. And I'm in waiting to get help, and she comes walking in behind me carrying her baby in the carrier. And out of the blue, I hear this voice in my head says, talk to her and find out what she ordered and pay for it. And I turned around. And just was like, hey, you know, what'd you get? And she no hesitation, it told me exactly what she got. And then I turned around to the lady and I said, I want to pay for hers too.
Yeah.
And they couldn't believe it. I mean, they were like, whoa, you know. And because I don't know, it's just something told me that I needed to do that because the money that she would have been spending on her food that night, it just, to me, it felt like she would have needed it for the baby.
For the baby or for gas money? Yeah, for something else. Yeah. It you does. Know? It does make a difference. It really does. This was really funny. Again, when I talk about it, when we're talking about being generous to the public or people, it's not us bragging. It's just we're able to inspire other people to open your hearts up to other people. And that's the purpose of me sharing the stories. It's not about me putting a feather in my cap or bragging. It's like, I don't care about that. But hopefully to open up other people's minds, because there's such negative news. And because they put more negative news, it's all negative news, on the news and everywhere else, that there's a lot of really good people. I feel like there's more good people than bad people. But because they advertise bad people, you make it sound like every single person is a schmuck or is really a bad person.
And that's why the attitude and the anger's coming out, because that's all you see anymore. And it's not just, you know, you're not just seeing it in the stores or on the streets. You're seeing it in the news.
Well, yeah, that's
because that's where the headlines are, you know. Having that negativity is the headlines. And it's like, come on, people. We got to have some positivity in this world. Otherwise, we're going to, you might as well just take ourselves and flush us down the toilet.
This was awesome. So I got to tell you this one story, and this will be enough of these kind of stories. Well, for me, I don't want to keep talking about it. But it's a really interesting story that I just remembered. So I took my daughter, Rebecca, out to a Chinese restaurant. And while we're eating, I saw three black women bring in like four or five autistic kids or teenagers into the house. But they had the patience of a saint. These three girls, they were laughing. They were sweet. They were lovely. They had patience with their clients, you know, with their patients, you know, feeding them. And, you know, and I could tell I would not want to be in their position. You have to have a special heart. I feel that everybody who works with special needs people, they have an instant ticket straight to heaven. To be able to have that kind of patience and unconditional love, and they don't get paid worth a crap to do such a job, to take care of these people who are in these special special needs homes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so I told the I told the waitress, I said, I want to pay for their meal. I said, all of them. And so because I just wanted to. And so anyway, I said to Rebecca, I said, Becca, watch this. Because they were getting ready to go. They finished before us. And I said, we're not saying anything. I'm not telling them that I was the one. I said, don't tell them that I'm the one. I don't want it. I don't want any recognition for it. So all of a sudden, when the girl says, all right, you know, let me have the bill. She says, don't worry about it. She says, somebody already paid for it. You're already taken care of. And the girls were saying, what? So the one girl said to the other girl, says, you know, that policeman that was here, I saw him checking out your ass. I bet you he was the one.
You got him thinking. Yeah, you got him thinking.
Yeah, and my daughter and I were just laughing.
Yeah, and I don't think we do it for the recognition or to make ourselves feel good. For whenever I did that, like I said, I felt this voice in my head tell me that I needed to do that. And it was something that had to be done. I've had that happen before and I ignored it. And believe it or not, it bothered me, but something bad happened to me because I didn't follow through with it.
Well, this is also something that you projected because you felt bad. It's not that you were being punished, but you actually drew that energy of guilt to yourself, and you drew that energy to you, and that's what ended up happening.
But that's, you know, that's the kind of person I am. That's the way my parents raised me, is if I can help somebody, help them.
You help them out. Or when I drive on the major roads and somebody's stuck on the side of the road, I won't stop. But I will pay attention to the mile marker, the direction of where I'm going, and the road that I'm on, and I'll call 911 or I'll call somebody to send over some help. So I like to do that. most of the times when people are in deep crap. And I always make sure that I have jumper cables on me, because I did have to jump a few people. I you know, helped them. It's always good to have jumper cables, whether it be for yourself or to help somebody else out. You know?
Yeah.
Well, that's it is
good to have. Wisconsin. Yeah, actually, that is kind of a requirement in Wisconsin, because we get so much daggum snow and
so daggum cold.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you said you're in Jersey, right?
Yeah, we get pretty cold weather.
Yeah, you guys get cold too, but at least you're not up by Buffalo.
Yeah, we've gotten colder weather last year. We've gotten colder weather than Wisconsin, and more than. But yeah, there were times where we were like getting belted. Yeah, it wasn't fun. I'll tell you that much.
It's never fun. I mean,
no.
You know, I mean, people learn the hard way sometimes. You know, like the state of Texas, they get, you know, a couple inches of snow, the whole state shuts down.
Yeah, so, like in February, like what happened to them in February? They got that snow, and their grid actually went down. They were out of power for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucked.
It's because they didn't put up stuff that was for that kind of weather.
Right.
That get down to below freezing.
They didn't weatherize stuff.
Right.
So the reason why, so getting back to for a second, the reason why I love to do what I love to do in the sense of, you know, being a psychic and a medium and stuff is because I love to heal people's hearts. I love to give people back their power. And that's probably the number one thing I do is make people feel good about themselves again and give people back their power. Because I give people a healthy perception of themselves. And so, and intuitively, you know, and I'm not programmed that it's like, I didn't go, you know, it's funny, you know, I always wanted to be a therapist growing up in junior high and high school, but I didn't have the patience for it at all. And I sucked at school. I was very likable. I was very liked and with my peers and the teachers and stuff, but I sucked at school. And I just, you know, and I didn't have the patience or the money for all that schooling and stuff to become a therapist. So I ended up becoming a psychic. I mean, lo and behold, I didn't think that I was going to be. It just happened. And now I have therapists who come see me for answers.
That's funny. Cool. That is cool.
Even though, and it's true, and even though I didn't go to college, in my book that I wrote, it says, I went to the University of Maryland in Boston for 2 years, but that was just to visit my friends.
Well, that means you got good friends.
I got some good friends, yeah. Actually, those friends who I visited back then, I'm no longer in touch with them then. Not for any reason, it's just they went their way and I went mine, but. It's all good. It's all good.
You know, everybody's in each other's lives for a reason.
Yes, that's true.
And once
you're needed, and then when you're not needed anymore, those people move on and move forward. You know, they go on to the.
Well, I got news for you. That's the way it should be. But a lot of people like to beat themselves up and they end up staying with somebody who does not benefit them. Who abuses them, who takes advantage of them, and they still don't leave because of their self-worthiness or because of codependency emotionally or codependency financially, or they say, oh, because of the kids. And it's like, and they're taking all this abuse and all this crap. And if you're not happy, you know when the show is over, you got to learn to move on.
Exactly. You
know? So, and it's a shame. A lot of people have what's known as this golden handcuffs. Golden handcuffs is when you're in a job or in a relationship that you don't like, but you still stay there because the benefits are just good enough. So it kind of keeps you there by your choice. And so it's known as golden handcuffs. You don't like it, but you still choose to stay there by your choice because of the benefits that come with it.
Right. And also the fear that comes with the moving to a different position or trying to do something else.
The fear of being alone, the fear of can I make it on my own? And I got news for you. It's lonelier being in a relationship when you're feeling alone than it is to be alone when you're on your own and you're alone. If you're on your own and alone, it's a lot better than being in a relationship and feeling alone.
Right.
Done that.
It really is, because you can call your own shots. You don't have to worry about anybody else but you.
Yeah, I've been there too with that.
Or with your kids. You know, but if somebody's taking advantage of you, somebody's disrespecting you, you know, it's nobody else's fault but your own to stay there.
True. You know? Very true.
I mean, I understand, like, there might be people listening right now and they're saying, well, yeah, well, it's easier said than done. But at the same token, are you creating a plan to get out of there? Are you saving up money on the side so you don't have to be dependent on them so you can move out? Mm-hmm. Are you building up a foundation with other family or friends that you could move into someplace else? Or are you just constantly surviving your life and staying where you're at, bitching and complaining every day, and you're on this hamster wheel, just doing the same thing over and over again, waiting for something new and special to happen, but it's never going to happen because you don't change your game plan at all. Work to home, work to home, work to home, and you don't do anything for yourself. And I always tell people, how can you expect to be first if you're always putting yourself last?
That's true. That's true.
Anyway, that's what I would do if I was president.
Artie for president.
Artie for president. This world would be a much better place. Trust me.
I'm not doubting you. With the way they are right now, with the you don't want to get me started.
I'd end up getting shot because I'm definitely not. I do what I feel is right. I don't follow protocol. If protocol doesn't meet my personal standards, then I am a rule breaker by all means. I'm not a Charlie Manson type of guy where I would just go out and be belligerent according to what I want, but I try to stay within certain boundaries, but play to my own rules, staying within the boundaries.
So you wouldn't be this guy over here.
What's that?
You said Charlie Manson, didn't you?
Oh, there you go. There you go.
It's a running joke with us because his mom called him and said to him one time
that
he
looked like my mom for a ride.
That's why I use the metaphor for Charlie Manson, because I've never said that in any of my interviews ever. That's the first.
I was taking my mom for shopping to a doctor's appointment or someplace, and she just all of a sudden out of the blue and off topic, she turned around and looked at me and said, you know, you kind of look like Charles Manson. And I turned around and looked, thanks a lot, Mom. Well, then it was like a few weeks later, I'm up at the hospital visiting my cousin. So my aunt's there, my mom's sister. She introduces me to the nurses. She says, hi, this is my nephew, Jesus Christ.
I was just gonna say you're like right in between the Charlie Manson and the Jesus Christ. I was waiting for you to finish your thoughts, and that's exactly what I was gonna say. You're a Chris.
And then I was standing in line one day at Walgreens, and some dude says, "Aren't you that hippie dude on that '70s show?"
It's like, and you said, "Yeah, you want my autograph?"
I said, "I wish."
This is really funny. Here I am at my Penn Station in New York City. And in the men's room, they got literally about 20 urinals lined up in a row, you know, at the train station. And so I go all the way to the end. There's nobody there but by myself. And I go all the way to the very end. And I'm doing my business. And this street person, this black dude walks in, you know, he's dressed like he came off of the streets, but he had a very jovial personality, very, you know, upbeat, playful personality. And he's doing his business and he looks down at me. He goes, Hey, you. And I looked over at him with a smile. I go, what's up? He goes, you're that dude on TV, aren't you? And I wasn't whoever he thought I was. And I said, yeah. He goes, I knew it, dude. I knew it. You're the man.
Yeah, but you made his day by saying that. Just by saying that to him, you made his day. Guarantee you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny when people do that. I always had fun with that. I mean, I didn't have that happen to me until, you know, the last 5 or 6 years or whatever it was. But my brother used to have it happen to him all the time when he was younger, and we'd hang out in all those country clubs and stuff. People would walk up to him thinking he was Travis Tritt, and he'd play along with him. And he had fun, and I think some of those women had fun too when he was playing along with them. You know, I think they really got a thrill and thought they were homing out with Travis.
So, what I'm picking up on, are both of you married, or is it just you?
Joe's the only one married. I'm divorced, and I live with my girlfriend.
Okay, so I don't know if it's your wife or your girlfriend, you know, whatever, but because I'm looking at both of you, but one of the girls, I believe, might have a history of problems within the chest, heart problems, or I don't know if it's cancer or heart problems, but one of them needs to stay on a regular checkup with their chest, just to stay on top of it. So that's kind of what I'm getting right now. But like I said, I'm not sure which one, because there's two of you, and I'm not sure. But because I'm hearing mammogram, but mammogram to me doesn't always mean breast cancer, but it could also mean issues going on with the heart or the lungs. So I feel
that's
like
interesting, because last Thursday I took my girlfriend in for her mammogram.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And they came back fine.
Okay. All right, so yeah, so just keep her up, but see if she has a history. If she's the one that has a history within the family of issues in that area, in the chest area.
She was born without a thyroid.
Oh, okay, yeah. So she needs to be able to, stay on her regular checkups just to stay on the safe side. Well, that sucks. Well, I guess she didn't put in her full order when we were picking out our body parts. I guess she forgot that part, to put in the thyroid part.
She's actually in the Wisconsin Medical Journal for the UW Hospital.
Wow. Well, it's not how you want to become famous, but you know, if you can contribute to science.
Right. She just said that both of her parents had heart disease.
Yeah. So she needs to stay on top. Yeah, so she needs to stay on regular checkups, once every 6 months or once a year. So that's what I'm picking up on. Definitely, yeah.
Okay.
You know.
Oh yeah.
So I am like a medical intuitive also, and you know, and it's really funny because you know, I do a Facebook Live show every Sunday night for free. It's called Angels and Answers. Angels and Answers Facebook Live with Artie Hoffman.
And that's the name of your other book.
Angels and Answers, yeah. Yep. So during my Facebook Live show, you know, people are allowed to ask me any questions they want. I give one free hour, and people type in their questions to me. And my assistant on the side, my hostess, she reads the questions to me randomly, and I just answer it. So I love it when girls ask me, so Artie, do you see me getting pregnant soon? And so my common response is, yeah, when you stop watching my show and you get in the bedroom, your odds are going to go way up.
I bet a lot of guys think that one. They got lucky tonight. My wife watched Artie, told me to go to bed and get lucky.
There you go. Artie said, hey, honey, Artie said we need to have more sex. What do you think about that? He says it's a necessity, not just a luxury.
Well, usually is a necessity.
It is. If you want to keep people's emotions at bay, it's a necessity.
words you survive by.
But that's why nuns are called nuns, because they don't get any.
They don't get none.
They don't get none, so that's why they're called nuns. So kudos to the person who created that word for them.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's kind of odd, because if that's true, then why are priests called fathers, but they don't ever father a child?
Yeah, that's right. This is true. Or maybe they are a father, they just don't know it. Probably half their parish is their kids. That's why they call fathers. All kept on the down low. Father? No, he really is my father.
Oh, goodness.
There's a lot more going on in catechism than you realize. So,
gotta keep those kids on a leash.
There you go. Keep the fathers on the leash, right? But I was raised in a Jewish family. I'm Jewish. I was raised in a Jewish family. And my family at first had a hard time believing the fact that I was actually psychic or medium, or that I was that kind of good professionally. It wasn't until I was asked to go on to the biggest radio station on New Jersey. They had 500,000 listeners listening, and they asked me to come on. And so when my family heard me on that, they said, oh, Artie must have something. But before that, they just thought like, oh, what's Artie doing now? What's he up to now?
Yeah, but when they said Artie must have something, did they also say that they hope it's not catching?
That's right. That's exactly what they said. Whatever he's got, I hope it's not catching. So here I am. When my father was alive, he was like in his mid-80s at the time. And so I went to visit him at his house, and I'm watching TV sitting on his couch, and he's sitting on the other part of the couch reading his newspaper. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, like we weren't having a conversation. I was watching TV. He was just reading his newspaper. And out of the blue, he puts down his newspaper and he looks at me. And he goes, Arthur, he goes, can you really tell people their future? Can you really talk to the dead, or are you just blowing smoke up their ass? He goes, or are you just telling them what they want to hear? And I looked at him. I said, Dad, I am as real as professional wrestling. I'm the real deal.
I'm not even going to comment on that one.
So then I slam dunked him.
It's funny that you would say that, because I'm always giving him crap about the fact that professional wrestling is fake.
I know it's scripted and fake, but it's so fun to watch when, you know, I was young. My dad took me to those things, you know, all the time.
I'm guilty of going.
Before he was famous.
I am guilty of going.
I've read for a couple of professional wrestlers, and but I never questioned them. I didn't want to ask them or put them like, you know, this, you know, I didn't want to disrespect them. You know, it's an entertainment. That's all it is. You know? One of my favorite shows growing up, by far, one of my favorite shows growing up was Roller Derby. Sunday.
Oh my God. I love that.
Loved it. Loved it. The guys and the girls loved it. To me, that was the bomb.
We still have it around our area here. We have there's a team here in Madison that's called the Madison Dolls.
Really?
And yes. And they still do roller derby around our area.
Wow. I would love to see that. Wow. I've never seen it in person.
I didn't know that. I didn't even know that. And I've been around and grew up here. He's just a transplant.
Yep. They're called the Madison Dolls.
Wow. And so how many do you know how many teams there are to create a league, or?
No, I'm not exactly sure. I'd actually have to look it up to find out.
That's interesting.
It is interesting because
that was such a great, if you're going to call it a show or sporting event, whatever you want to call it.
Entertainment. It was awesome entertainment.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought that.
Yeah. Wow. Like Joe just said. Spectator sport.
Just like country line dancing. The spectator sport.
Yeah. It was very, yeah, that was a very cool show. I love that. I love the Little Rascals.
Yeah. Oh, I grew up watching those.
I love the Looney Tunes.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Saturday morning cartoon.
You know, Mel Blanc, the one who does all the voices of all the Looney Tune characters.
From him, mm-hmm. Yeah.
On his tombstone, it says, "That's all, folks."
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a picture of his. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so his son took over all the characters afterwards.
Oh.
His son started doing all the character voices as well.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be easy to replace some of those voices. Yeah, you can tell the difference. I've heard some of the newer cartoons since he passed away, and you can tell the difference.
Yeah, I was actually, believe it or not, I actually performed as Barney, and I tried to audition. I auditioned for Barney's voiceover in Disney. The Disney World, but I wasn't picked, unfortunately. But I used to do children's birthday parties, and let me tell you something. Going back about 27 to 30 years ago, I was the king shit. I was what was happening, because I nailed it. Not only was I wearing a costume, but I could do his voice, and people go, "Oh my God, that's Barney!" So kids that didn't believe in Barney back then. Let me tell you something. When they saw me, they believed in Barney because, oh,
you were talking about Purple Dinosaur.
And hello there, everybody, and how are you?
Wow.
And so, and I used to sing in the voice and the whole nine yards. So it was a lot of fun. So,
awesome.
But anyway, but to get back to the spirituality aspect, which we hardly talked about. No, but we did, as far as kindness and generosity, because that's a lot of what being spiritual is about. And I strongly believe in my heart and soul, the love and respect that you give is the love and respect you deserve. And if somebody is not reciprocating in appreciation or reciprocating in some way of something in return, then it's your choice to either still be with those people or not to be with those people. Because not every single relationship, you're not meant to hang out with every single relationship in your life. Not every relationship you're meant to hold on to forever. You know, they serve a time, they serve a purpose and a time for that time, and that's it, you know? And, but just know when the show is over. But like I said, you know, if people are respecting you and loving you or liking you, then fine, keep them around in your circle. But if not, let them go. And there's too many people who choose to allow a lot of people who are very disrespectful to still be in their life. And they complain about them and complain about them. It's like, listen, it's your fault just as much because you're accepting it. You're allowing it to happen. Yep. So you're playing yourself as a victim. You might not be able to change them, but you can change yourself and your choices.
Yeah. Well, I know that you said that we only had you until a certain time. We're coming up close to our hour mark, which we usually just try to stay in that time frame. Is there any last thing you want to say to the anyone who's watching or any that would watch later, because this is recorded that they can watch it later too? So is there any kind of advice you want to give anybody or anything you want to plug or anything?
Well, like I said, you know, the love and respect that you give is the love and respect you deserve. And just because, and, you know, if somebody always belittled you or did not respect you growing up as a child or in a previous relationship, don't mimic them. Learn from their mistakes. Whatever you wish, the kind of love and compassion and the kind of appreciation you wish you got from others. For everything that you wish you got from the ones who did not give it to you, your parents or your siblings or whoever, how they treated you, do the direct opposite. A lot of times we learn what love is through what love is not. And so be the opposite person. Don't mimic, well, this was done to me, or this is how I was raised, or this is how it always was. Well, if you didn't like it, well, then don't keep repeating it. If you didn't appreciate it, don't repeat it. do the opposite. And that's what I did. My father caused so much pain in my family life. He caused so much pain. And my mother was the saint of all saints. She taught what unconditional love was all about, what love is all about. And so with the sense of humor and with the love and the caring and the giving. And my father, he wasn't all bad. My father was caring and giving, and he could be generous. But at the same token, just learn from other people's mistakes and do the opposite, and treat yourself with respect, and don't stay. Just know when the show is over, and set yourself up for a new island. If you have no place else to go to, you're going to remain stuck. So that's why I say, set yourself up for a new oasis or a new island for you to look forward to going someplace or to do something other than where you are. Otherwise, you're just going to keep surviving your life, staying on the same hamster wheel. And that's what you don't want, you know. So I have two books. One is called Angels and Answers, and this will change your life forever. You can get it on ArtieHoffman.com or on Amazon.
Yep, it's right here on the bottom, ArtieHoffman.com.
ArtieHoffman.com. And have your angels call my angels. This is about relationships. The other one is about life. And I promise you with all my heart, you are going to think that I specifically wrote that book just for you. You're going to have so many aha moments that's going to spear you right in your heart emotionally. You're going to go, wow, this fella really knows what he's talking about. And you're going to have a great understanding why good things happen to bad people and why bad things happen to good people and why life is the way it is and why God allows things to happen. I explain all that and a lot of other interesting topics you're going to love. So check it out. And I do, like I said, I do private sessions, and I'm just as accurate over the phone as I am in person. I'm out of New Jersey, and I'm very approachable. You'll see. So, and I do events, and it's really cool. And then my Facebook Live show, Angels and Answers, every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. I tell it like it is, and I read for people and communicate to people's loved ones who have passed away. So, but thank you. Yeah, check out ArtieHoffman.com, or you could email me, ArtieHoffman@gmail, and I will get back to you.
All right. Well, Artie, thank you
guys for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming in and talking with us.
It was fun.
We had a lot of fun. It was
a lot of laughs.
Great. Yes, we had some good laughs, and I love the stories you told.
It was a blast, man.
Appreciate you coming in and talking with us.
Oh, it was my pleasure. So you guys are great, and I had a lot of fun, and it was great to meet Charlie Manson and Jesus Christ all in the same hour. That was awesome. So,
all right, and thank you, Artie, and I'll hand it over to Joe. And you got anything to add, Joe?
Yeah, next Friday, this coming Friday, we have Barnaby Jones from Cats. He'll be with us. Talking cryptids and more.
Very cool. All right, gentlemen, I gotta go. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Artie.
Thank you.
Until next time.
Definitely.
Enjoy.
All right. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Remember,
have a good evening, buddy.
You got it.